This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from coming to you today from Wellington, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson, also from Wellington, Florida, and you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for February 6th, episode 1099. This episode is brought to you by S Equestrian and Left Bank Equine. Good morning from the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center, home of the Winter Equestrian Festival. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh my God, it's Tuesday.
It's top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump-off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. It's not actually Tuesday. Emily's usually here on Tuesday, but we have the best seat for a job this morning. I'm not in a studio. We're in a different kind of studio right at ringside at the Winter Equestrian Festival here in Wellington. Yesterday it poured all day, but this morning it's absolutely beautiful. And we just watched an unintentional dismount because the show is going on right in front of
it
us.
It is live. Nice pony waited for his rider.
This is the last one
did not wait for his rider.
This is the second unintentional dismount in a row, and the last horse was out of here. This one actually stood there and apologized.
They'll be back.
It's always the good of ponies that apologize. This is a great view, Emily.
It's so good. I got to say, this is watching in style. I watch all the time. You know, this is actually a work day for me, and I'm at the showgrounds frequently watching, but I'm liking this.
This is my first time at WEF. I was down a couple of years ago and did the dressage thing, but never got over to WEF, so it's really cool over here. What a beautiful showground.
It is beautiful. I know it's so nice to have you guys down here and see the lay of the land. I mean, you can't really appreciate it until you see it when you're here and you see how huge it is and the top competition. I mean, the horses are turned out, the riders are turned out. I mean, as soon as you guys walked in, you were like, wow, look at the ring. The jumps are big. It's beautiful. It's groomed. We love it.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is the horse world is so small, yet it's so diverse. I was talking to Karen, who hosts our endurance show here once a month, and she's one of the top endurance riders in the country. And I said we were going to Wellington, and she said, where's that? She had no idea what Wellington was. So we all assume, because we've been around for so long, that everybody knows what Wellington is and what it does and, you know, everything. But, you know, if you're in a different discipline, a different world on the western side, you have no idea. You know, so it's just strange. So we're here to help people understand what Wellington is.
Here we are
in Florida, by the way. We're in Wellington, Florida, which is about an hour and a half north of Miami.
That's right.
We are between Miami and Fort Lauderdale, for anybody who wants to put it on a map. And we are right outside of Palm Beach.
Yeah, it's a great location. You can get to the beach. You can get, like you're saying, to Miami. There's like three airports within reasonable driving distance, shopping, everything's here. I mean, for me, the beach, it's a big draw. It's like 15 minutes away.
And about 1,000 Mexican restaurants.
We love Mexican, too. No, it really is. It's a great area for eating, shopping. It's a destination. So it's fun, and the horse show is like that. It's very spectator-friendly, so it caters to really bringing people from out of town who don't know horses. Even you can get from the spectator lot to the horse show without walking on footing or bridle paths, which for those of you that have been to horse shows know is almost impossible. But this place, you can do it. And you can even pass the carousel on your way in.
Yeah, there actually is a little carousel out here.
I know. You thought we were joking.
I thought you were joking. It really was a carousel.
For real.
It is beautiful here. We had dinner last night with Reese Koffler's Stanfield Massage Radio Show, and that was fun. We had a good time. You guys got to meet finally.
I know. She's great. She's really funny. I like her.
Yeah, she She does a good job on that show. Yep. And Philip Parks is flying in from Canada tomorrow. He's also host of the Dressage Radio Show, and I'll get to meet him for the first time. I've been doing shows with him for 2.5 years and never met him.
That's such a trip, because we met the first time
at
the trade show. And so, yeah, when I hear that with your other co-hosts, I think, wow, it's so different. Yeah, we get to see each other quite a bit, actually.
Well, this is the second show we're doing this week.
We were
in Philadelphia earlier in the week, and down here in a much warmer Florida.
Oh, my gosh, I know. We had a cold snap this morning. I mean, we have hoodies on. It's the wind. The wind bites, okay? I don't care where you are.
Okay, it was 6 in Massachusetts this morning. I don't think they care.
You're right. It's poor sportsmanship. We should just drop it.
Yes.
All right.
Well, we are at the – okay, I always get the name wrong here of the – place we're at. It's the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center.
Oh, yeah.
And it has grown, I mean, even in the last 10 years. Well, let's bring Jen into the conversation, because I want to talk about Wellington here, too.
Absolutely. Okay, we're so fortunate. We have none other than Jennifer Wood herself coming on to talk about Wellington, news, little updates, all of that. But yes, we're here. We're at Wellington. Give us a little – oh, my goodness, he stayed on. I'm sorry. That was almost a launch through the
– There actually are horses in front of us.
Tell our listeners about Wellington. What is sort of – you know, a little bit of background, I guess, in a nutshell. I know it's a long history, but, you know, it's been exploding with growth over the last, say, 10 years. So what has it been, and what are we looking at here?
Well, I think the area has – decades of history of horses and equestrian sport. You know, at first when it started out, the Palm Beach Polo Club was what brought people down here.
Polo's still very big.
It's huge at the International Polo Club just down there. You know, the Palm Beach Polo Club was across the street where Dressage is now. So that's where you saw people like Prince Charles playing polo. And when that shifted probably about 6 or 7 years ago to IPC, you know, it moved away from there, and we had the chance to, you know, buy that property and keep it for equestrian use instead of it becoming a shopping center or
condo.
I think a retirement home was something that was
considered. There's plenty of those around here anyway.
Yeah. Well, and that's not this area. I mean,
right.
It's a shame.
Yeah, you want to keep it for horses and for equestrian use. And at the Winter Equestrian Festival itself has been around for over 35 years. It started over there at the Polo Center grounds, and then it shifted to where it is now, but in a much smaller footprint, originally with Gene Mish. And, you know, he started the show. He built it up to one of the best competitions in the world. And, you know, in the last 8 years, it's really exploded in growth, and the amount of horses that we get are the biggest anywhere in the world, and it's become a destination, a place to go. Even if you don't own a farm or you don't show all 12 weeks, we have people who just come and show for 2 weeks, or kids who come down on spring break or something like that. Just want
to
experience it
people
and
come
see
to
it.
Horses for the
yeah,
that's a huge market, which you don't see really anywhere else. That's outrageous.
You run a show horse for a
week?
Yeah.
People ask me all the time.
You can just do like a week at least.
It's a big business down here. Yeah, which is not, it's not like that anywhere. So as a professional.
Yeah, I don't know anywhere else
that
you can rent a show horse.
The land of the weekly leases. Okay, you know, like this is so
that's fun.
But people that ride, they want to come experience it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And, you know, the circuit itself grew originally when Gene started it. It really was a circuit. It went to different areas around Florida. It was not all based in Wellington. There were some in Tampa. There were some at the fairgrounds.
That's right.
It was here. And then, you know, it kind of consolidated once this became the premier showgrounds that it is.
Give people an idea. I don't think they appreciate how big and how many rings are here. Give everybody an idea of how many rings and stuff.
Yeah.
But hunters happen here, too. It's not just jumpers,
but
hunters.
And ponies. Yeah, hunters.
That's Emily's thing.
Jumpers.
Emily's about 4 foot two, so she rides the ponies.
People keep asking.
We have lots of ponies here. We have 12 competition rings. Just on the west side.
But then there's like tons of practice rings.
Yeah, there's a show. There's a schooling ring for every show ring, and then we have a couple extra rings just for hacking.
So
and
we're talking
practicing.
Almost 30 rooms.
Yeah, I would say probably 26, 27.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Which is like quadruple what it was when I was a kid. I was riding in the Gene Mish days, and it was small. Every ring had a name. And now every ring, yes, in addition, has numbers, numbers, numbers. There's
right.
so many.
Yeah.
And then lunging pads. And, oh, my yeah. gosh, it is huge. Do you know how many back numbers, do you recall, that we had last year at the end of circuit?
I think over 3,000.
And that's how many people showed,
yeah.
just riders or
yeah. riders? No, it's per horse.
Per horse.
Yep.
Per horse. It's a lot
yeah.
going in these rings, and you feel
right.
it out there. But the thing is that the bridle paths and just sort of the all the work, because there was a time there where we were exploding and you felt it.
Yeah.
Now we can handle this number of volume of horses on the bridle
yep.
paths and thing, you know, walking around showing. You're like, okay, this is doable. I think Pony Island, that
mm-hmm.
was smart.
Key.
Just move the kitties.
Moving them into
yeah.
their own area
yeah.
where it's safe for them. And, you know, that's something that they've really worked on improving is the traffic flow, you know, and it's still difficult in parts. There's only so much you can do when
right.
you have this amount of people and horses and golf carts and
yep.
motorbikes. And
it's so much.
Yeah, but I think, you know,
it's working, though.
We're improving and looking for ways to keep making it enjoyable for everyone
mm-hmm.
and safe for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, it's working. All right, well, that's pretty much Wellington. Maybe we move into some of
yep.
The stats here. So we've got sort of an exciting season. We've
yeah.
got Nations Cups, all kinds of stuff going on. So fill us in. What's going
Huge
on?
Huge events.
And the teams have been picked, right? Have they been?
Not all of them.
Okay,
no.
Well, you tell us.
Not for our
You're
Nations
in the know.
Cup.
Okay.
So, well, last week was our first five-star.
Okay.
We have 4 5-star weeks, which means it's the highest rating for the international show jumping from 1 to 5 stars. And we are internationally rated for 11 out of our 12 weeks. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. And last week was also a World Cup qualifier. You saw Marie Eckart from
that's
France
right.
jump to the
teeny,
win.
Tiny little horse.
Mini me.
14-2 maybe.
Myself to Brad.
Really?
Oh, teeny tiny
like
little
15
guy.
Hands.
Okay, maybe.
Just above
yeah.
a pony,
they
huh?
were on our
a little chestnut mare.
Aisle one year. I was like, this pony would measure.
With little
like.
Springs in her leg.
I know. She's
amazing.
Marie rides amazing. That
yep.
was exciting.
It was really fun to watch. It was a great jump off. And,
yep.
and it's one thing to see these jumps on TV, but when you stand beside
yeah,
them,
yeah.
you really appreciate them.
Yeah.
Right
these are like incredible athletes.
Horse walk and you walk up to it and it's about eye level.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm 5'5". It's
yeah.
it's amazing.
The horses are incredible. And the best horses in the world. I mean, we
yeah.
are so spoiled here, one after another. It's
right.
incredible to watch.
Yeah, and the jump-offs. Like, every jump-off.
I know.
So cool.
It's
and then
awesome.
Every class. Like, the riders talk about it every week. They say, it's so hard to win here. And for somebody like Eric Lamaze, who's won the Thursday Grand Prix 4 weeks in a row, it's
unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
He just
He's
has an incredible string of horses. And,
yep.
and if you're wondering
constant.
What the noise is in the background, the tractors have just moved in to
Train
drag
track.
The arena.
Now
there's
they're
like 10
good.
Of them.
Jen, do you know how many trips in between drags there are? I mean, they're good. They keep this ring running.
Yeah, they drag just about every 30 trips
every
or 30 so.
Every 30 trips. That's great.
Yeah, that's the footing has been something that we've invested literally millions of dollars in, and every ring has top-of-the-line footing, no matter if you're showing in the cross rail hunters all
yep.
the way up to the Olympic show jumpers.
Well,
they
know,
all have the same footage.
It poured here. Yeah. I mean, it rained yesterday
it
all day,
really
and this
rained.
Rain doesn't look like it rained
no,
at all.
No, we actually
it
had
really
an uncharacteristic
fast.
Rain day, which I like
right.
because that saves the footing. And then here we are, and we've got beautiful footing we're showing. They
yep.
showed over at Global, I think.
Yeah, they did keep going over. We were delayed over there, but then once
they,
it cleared up a
they
bit,
kept
they
going.
Kept going.
But the footing, you're right, is fantastic here. It's ready to jump, big jumps.
Yeah.
You'd never know it rained.
Absolutely.
It's worth it.
Yeah. And
so for people who don't follow jumping on a regular basis, who are the standouts this year so far? We're about midway through the season.
Yep.
Down here. So if you had some standouts, who would you say they were?
I mean, you can't count out Eric Lamaze, Olympic gold medalist. He's won 4 major Grand Prix so far. Our Grand Prix winners so far this year, Todd Minakis from the U.S., Ian Miller.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Miller, the legend.
Yeah. Out of Canada.
From Canada.
It's hard to win here.
The
Georgina
captain.
Bloomberg. She won
That's
in our
right.
third week.
She was very good.
Yeah, with a nice up-and-coming horse that
yep.
she has. You have people like McLean Ward, BZ Madden, Kent Farrington. They're all in the top of the ribbons in the Grand Prix classes. And then, you know, in the meter 40, meter 45, Laura Chapeau wins every single week. It's
unbelievable.
Her horses are so fast, and she's precision and riding, you know, for the blue ribbon every time she goes in the ring.
Yeah, she is unbelievable. We watch her up at Saugerties too, and yeah, it's year round.
Yeah.
She just, that's her gear.
Yep.
And she's perfected. Oh my gosh. And it's nobody else's gear.
Right.
We just hope she pulls one.
Yeah.
We're not going to beat her. It's unbelievable. All right. So what about, so our Nations Cup, that is, when are we running our Nations Cup here? Which is something to behold, yep. I want to say, people who have
so
not
So what's
the
Nations
here.
Cup? Explain that.
So Nations Cup is, ours is run under the FEI rules. It's an FEI competition. It's where countries send teams of four riders. So it's all countries against each other, which is really fun to watch. People get way into cheering for their country. The Irish are especially good at it.
They're a little rambunctious.
Yeah.
Especially good at the cheering because that involves a lot of drinking.
It does.
See, that's why, that's why the Irish are good at it.
They're always rowdy, but I got to say, I remember there was 1 year, about 5 years ago, that I think the Mexican crowd got in trouble because they were like screaming like
in the middle of somebody's
like
round.
Like a soccer match. Yeah.
To, like get the horses to pull the rail. You know, they're like, no, we got to take it back a notch.
Is this the competition where they switch then at the end?
No,
okay.
Just, right. You know, you stay on your horse. It's two rounds, and they do the same course both rounds. So the team members, you know, all four team members go, and whoever has the most faults, they drop their score. So you just add the three riders' lowest scores, and then they come back for a second round.
And it does, because there's quite a few teams. How many teams are fielded?
This year we'll have 8 or 9.
So it's a lengthy competition.
Yeah.
When you watch, it's lots of fun though. Top riders and the cheering is really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for real. People really, they go all out. We've got face paint. I mean, you're gonna think it's the Super Bowl. You're like,
yeah. We've got face paint, flag waving,
beer drinking.
There are colors everywhere. Usually the big tent down at the end of the ring is split between USA and Canada. So the USCF and the Canadian Federation kind of host their own parties there and have everybody there to cheer their teams on. And they usually do pretty well.
They do well.
Yeah.
And then the Irish, they take over the Tiki Hut, which is
right.
The bar.
Yeah.
I remember them hanging in the Irish embassy.
Again, no surprise.
Yep. No surprise. No, really, everybody's, you know, where they belong, I guess. So funny. It is really, really a great event, though, for show jumping, just the excitement. And you can have people. That's a great spectator event, don't you think?
Definitely.
Because you can come and root for your country, your team,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody's sectioned off. I mean, it's really more like a sports event.
Yeah, and it's on a Friday night. It's on Friday, February 27th this year, which is during our week 8. And they do that in order to give them a day off before the Grand Prix for
right.
riders who compete in that. So it's a little different. It's not our usual Saturday night lights thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have, it's always been on Friday night traditionally, and we've been doing it since 2002 here.
Right.
The Nations Cup is kind of the marquee event of the season, and it's the only one, until this year, it was the only one in the United States.
Wow.
So
that's right.
It was a big deal.
Really big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a party. So that you got to come check it out.
Okay. I'm a guy and I'm a horse husband, so I have to comment on this. I have, and I've been to a lot of horse shows. I have never seen 8 tractors in the ring at the same time.
Synchronized tractor dragging.
Synchronized tractor dragging.
And you just know.
And they had it down. I mean, they didn't even get close to each other.
They're professionals.
They are.
And it's just fun to watch,
you
actually.
You know one of them's going to, like, wreck, and they never
they
do.
And they go, like, 100
so
miles
fast,
an hour.
So fast. You have to be. You have to get it done so quickly.
That is
the
John Deere
so
tractor
trips.
Contingent there.
No.
I have never seen 8 tractors. Only have I ever seen one in
yeah.
a ring at
Welcome
a time.
Welcome to Wellington. Yeah. We have to get it
everything
done.
Everything is
excess. It is. You know what? It matters.
It makes it efficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the footage is so important. And we
such
have
a guy comment. Such a guy comment.
It is a guy thing, but, you know, it's anybody watching watches a little bit in terror the first time. Like, this is like, you know, Evel Knievel. They're
okay.
all like,
and now we're getting ready for the next class. So the riders have come
they're
in like bees.
They're flooding in
like bees.
Right.
And walking the course.
So, Jen, can you give us an idea of, like, some of the class numbers? That'll give people, for the 150 classes. And so, like, what are the
mm-hmm.
quantity of riders, the volume that we're seeing in some of these classes? Because we're trying, I mean, this is a huge sea of people that
right.
are coming to walk the course.
I mean, we regularly see in a day over 200 trips in a ring. So, you know, for...
Boy, winning a ribbon is tough around here.
Yeah.
Very tough. It means something.
It's really
you know,
difficult.
You get
just getting a ribbon.
Any ribbon. Yep.
So, you know, for a class like this, the high amateur jumpers, there could be anywhere from 40 to 60 people in it.
Big number.
And to find, like, that many people that are that good enough to jump the high amateur jumpers, like, that's a big class.
Yeah.
It's difficult, and there are
for those
so
that
many.
Don't know, and there's a lot of our audience that's never jumped a horse before, what's a meter 50 mean? You keep talking, that's how you tell what your classes are, is the
that's
height.
That's the height, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the international, we go by the international level, so that's why we use meters.
So it's a meter and a half,
yeah.
Which would be three, four, four and a half, four and a quarter feet, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four and a quarter.
Yeah.
Four and three quarter.
Yeah,
feet.
Something like that. I
big.
Can't do my meter.
I know. I'm terrible. I just know what it feels like. I'm like, 140 is too big.
Yeah.
Or it's not too big.
So what's the highest that you'll jump in the five star?
All of the Grand Prix are meter 60.
Meter 60.
Yeah. So they.
Which is literally five.
Over
5 foot.
Five, 3.
Four,
about,
three, yeah.
Something around there. I know
they may have a couple
of
jumps
right.
That go up to
I'm 6 foot, and I'm looking at that top rail at the top of my eyeball.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
like,
it's
and wide.
Over my
yeah.
The
and
Oxlers
yeah.
are really
they're
wide.
Really wide. Yeah. You can't always touch them.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are huge. But that's we're breeding these horses. I mean, these are superior athletes. It's unbelievable
mm-hmm.
to see. And now I think the breeding is catching up and the riding. And so all of a sudden there's, you know, like 90 in the 150 class.
Right.
Which is outrageous to now, have.
And also explain to everybody what you see right now. Well, the riders are all out there and they will be counting the entire time. They're all pacing and counting here the entire time. And it's so funny to watch them all on the line like that.
Yep.
So explain what they're doing out there now.
Well, they're walking. Everybody is, the course is set on footage, and that means something different to everybody depending
they're
on
counting
your
strides. So
exactly. They're counting strides. So in between any jumps that are relatively close together, I don't count. I mean, I lose count, honestly, truth be told, over six, so, which a lot of people frown upon. They're like, oh, you have to count. Anyways, I keep it like, you know, five strides, I count, six, okay, I kind of see off my eye. But there's people that are real, you know, analytical about it, and they want to know how many steps it is off the corner, or they want to know how many in a rollback turn. They're like, okay, it's nine strides here, rolling back. And
mm-hmm.
it depends on your horse. I mean, mm-hmm. if you have a horse.
But all horses have different strides,
they're all
too,
different,
so,
and they're
yeah.
all a bit, you know, they negotiate an element differently. Something may walk a combination long to short, and if your horse always speeds up in a combination, that's different than one that hangs up in the air. So you have to know your horse. Ultimately, you have to know your horse, and any track can win. It's fastest clear. Smooth always wins. But yeah, it's related distances out there. It's all about the footage, but you have to know your horse, or
yeah.
you have to be, you know.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for having us down. It's,
thank
it's,
you for
it's,
having
this
me.
Is fun.
I know.
I'm enjoying this immensely because I hardly ever get out of the studio, so this
yeah.
is nice.
We're bringing
fresh
you out
air.
Now.
I actually can breathe fresh air and watch. This has been fun. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah,
we
just
appreciate
it. I just
want
to invite everybody out for this Saturday night for the Great Charity Challenge presented by Fidelity Investments.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That's our big
yeah, because we're coming out.
We're going to come out. Yeah,
yeah.
So Saturday night. So that's in place
mm-hmm.
of the
6:30 instead of a Grand Prix.
Okay.
Grand Prix's on Sunday
okay.
instead. We've raised over $6.2 million in the past 5 years.
Wow. Yeah.
We randomly choose 34 charities from Palm Beach County every year. This
nice.
Year we had more than 400 apply.
Wow.
So it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's become
it's
a giant great. Event for the local community in a way for the equestrians to give back and to really help and support the people, you know, in our area of Wellington and the county.
Is there, some, is there something fun planned, something different, or is it straight jumping? Or
yeah, it's a really fun event.
And we have the half-naked guys doing the human jump thing.
I wish.
You know,
no.
like I've seen the pictures of.
It's
no?
a pro-am relay.
Okay.
So
okay.
you have teams of three riders in the ring at once, and they each rider does a section of the course in a row,
okay.
and then they the
oh,
fastest
cool.
is this like a split
team.
Do they have to hand off a
for
stick?
Live stream?
Do they hand off
they
a stick?
Unfortunately, no. We
no,
couldn't get
no.
the stick.
A whip.
Going.
Maybe hand off a whip.
Oh
there
my
you
God.
Go.
Yeah,
that
we thought about
horse.
That.
All of mine would be like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're getting, but you're not getting it.
Yeah.
But you'd see the adventures too, because
yeah,
their
yeah.
horses don't care.
Our horses not so much.
Yeah, it's a really fun event to watch.
That's great.
It's easy to understand.
I've never seen that before. That'd be fun.
Yeah,
that's a spectator event. So we have so many spectator events down here. You guys got to check it out, or even take a trip because there's shopping, there's beach, there's other stuff for the rest of the family, and you can come.
And of course,
and really
we have to. We have our dressage friends right across the street,
yes,
basically,
we
and we're going
yeah.
over there tonight to watch the five star freestyle.
Oh yeah,
five
yeah.
star.
I know, it's so cool. We got all the best.
That's the only way I'm going to watch dressage is five star.
Five star.
There's
I'm with you, man.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
only
yeah.
the best for you.
Watching training level dressage.
Yes. Painful. It's like, true.
I've watched my wife do a few of those.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
She's listening. She has her headphones on. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Thank you, Jen.
Oh,
thank you
God.
Very
Thanks,
much.
Jen. Talk
What's
to
the
Jen.
Website, by the way?
Our website is pbiec.com.
pbiec.com.
Yep.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Palm Beach International Equestrian
Center. Yep. Okay.
Fun,
good. Thanks,
fun.
Jen.
All right. Later.
Hey, one of the cool things that happens when you come to Wellington is you meet old friends. And I did that. I met an old friend here from Lexington, Kentucky. She used to board at the same barn we boarded our horses at. Her name is Ariel Weissman. Hi, Ariel.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Welcome.
Good. Ariel used to be with Alltech when I knew you during the World Equestrian Games all that time.
Yeah.
All that time up to then. And now you have switched because I think she wanted to come to Wellington, and that was a real
Can
reason.
You blame me? Look
no,
at the weather
no,
down
know.
Here.
I know. It's
sunny, and it's going to be 72 today.
Totally.
You work for Phelps Media now, which
I
everybody's
do.
Heard of. They've all seen the press releases coming out of Phelps Media.
Yeah.
You guys represent riders, right?
We represent a lot of different types of clients. We have riders, we have some charities, including some that are going to be at the Great Charity Challenge this weekend, like Horses Healing Hearts, Just World International, some veterinarian clients, DTR Equine Sports Medicine. They're this group of great vets down here. We have a footing company, Westwind Surfaces, plus numerous different events, such as the National Horse Show, which is in Lexington in the fall, as I'm sure you're very familiar
yep,
with,
yep, yep.
And some jumper riders.
Have you ever been to the National in Lexington?
No, I feel so ignorant. I have not been out there at all. I was a Madison Square Garden girl, you know,
yeah.
And I came out and I was like, eh.
It is definitely found. It's definitely found its new home.
It
there.
Is neat in that stadium.
It is cool. No, I've seen live
stream.
It looks amazing.
It is really cool. You should.
And everybody has rave reviews and the complex and it's horse friendly. And,
yeah.
But it is a bit far. I mean,
it is a little, but it's definitely worth it.
It is. It is cool.
Sense.
Yeah.
We also have
and hotels are cheaper than Wellington, I got to say.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I know.
It's expensive down here.
It is crazy, but the views.
I went hotel shopping. It was like, oh my God.
I know.
So tell us, you have a couple, which she mentioned one, one of your riders won the Grand Prix here a couple weeks ago, Georgina
Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah,
Bloomberg. Georgina Bloomberg, yeah. 2 weeks ago. She's been doing great lately, and then she'd just come off that big win from Central Park, which was right in her backyard a few weeks ago. And charities are actually really important to Georgina, so we're excited to see her tomorrow night as well.
She's a big ASPCA, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what one of them is? I think.
Yeah, she's very involved with a lot of charities, actually, and she actually started her own, the Riders Closet. So.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
We talked to her about that.
And she's really involved in a lot of things.
She is. And there's a great article about her, I don't know if you've seen it, in Wellington the Magazine that was just published, just came out, I think, a week ago. And it's beautiful. It's got some great photos of her and talks a lot about, you know, how she transitions between life in New York City and life in Wellington. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So, and then we have Hunter clients, too, and then we cover all the
I wanted to mention that, too. We got to mm-hmm. show some love to the Hunter crowd because they're on the other side of
the other side of the fence here.
Yeah. Patricia Griffith, one of the, well, you called her the queen of the hunters.
The hunter queen.
And she is. She's one of, like, everything there is to win.
I mean,
so.
It was accepted at the trade show. Everybody that came by was like, ooh, you're right. She is.
So you had a chance to catch up with her yesterday, and we're going to play that interview later in the show.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Show the hunter some love.
So she was, she's very, she knows what she thinks.
She does, and she knows, and that's what everybody was like, oh, well, she knows. I mean, and it's true. She does know. She's been in it. She's been doing it for ages, and she lived the transition that we're all sort of still experiencing. So,
you
talked
a lot about clothing and fashion, which is something that is kind of controversial right now in Hunter World.
It is.
We're trying to drag them into the 21st century.
We are, but, you know, they want to be there. So for me and my
family. Because
my
they're still stuck not in the 20th century. They're stuck in the
18th
century.
The 1800s.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, people are going to get heat stroke. Down
Abbey. That's true. They're stuck in Down Abbey.
The farther forward we push, now there's a backlash where they're like regressing.
There is another fabric other than wool. Amazing.
I know. I don't know what you're talking about. There's not. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's interesting, though, because she wears riding clothes showing all the time. So she is absolutely a fan of the technical fabrics and all that. But
well, now, it's a huge...
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
I mean, especially down here, where it's 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, totally.
So now you have your horse. You're a jumper, right?
Yes, I jump and also a little bit of everything, whatever my horse feels like.
It must be fun to have your horse down here in the winter.
It is fun. Mm-hmm.
And you can just there's so many bridle paths you can ride forever.
You can ride forever. He's a little bit just outside Wellington, but we're right on some great canal trails, and it's so accessible down here for anyone with a horse to take your horse different places and do different things. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, have you had an alligator attack? back you yet?
Not yet. Okay. I haven't actually even seen one yet since I've been here, but apparently in the summer it's going to be like they're everywhere. I don't know. We'll see.
They don't really have them in Loxahatchee because the canals are regulated and they change the water level and the
except after that
really
flood
see.
They had here last year, where then they had snakes and alligators in people's yards.
It's crazy. I saw one right over at the barn though. I have my horses over at Palm Beach Point, and it was a baby. I posted it on Facebook. Did you see it? It was like 3 feet long though. I mean, mama was somewhere.
It's enough to take a bite out for a snack.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. I think.
And you're tiny, Emily. They look at you like lunch.
It would be terrible. I'm looking at people fishing. Like, are you? Like, you know,
walk around in the lake and stuff. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
And this is an alligator. Then their lunch out of the creek.
Yeah,
that's right.
You've really got to watch your dogs, though, too. We've heard a lot of stories about those dogs who love to go in water, like labs and Jack Russell.
Oh,
they just jump right in.
No, it's true. They right over in the canals here, even just 8-9 years ago, they were really big gators. Really big.
Ariel, give the website out where people can find you.
PhelpsMediaGroup.com, and we also do coverage of polo, dressage, and the hunter jumpers at pspolo.com, psdressage.com, and phelpssports.com.
Awesome.
And actually, we have this new video series that I wanted to tell you guys about on phelpssports.com. We're hoping to have it every Tuesday, and we have people like McLean Ward and George Morris, and we're doing some specials on Wellington with behind the hedgerows, like looks at different fancy farms down here, and critiquing different rides and a lot of different fun top hits of the week kind of thing. So make sure to check that out.
Cool.
And the website?
Phelpssports.com.
Phelpssports.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ariel.
You're very welcome.
Good to see you. Nice to meet you. See you soon. Enjoy the weather and your pony.
Thank you.
And we have a rider stopping by.
Oh, yeah. We do. We are very, very lucky. We have none other than Shane Sweetnam. Welcome.
Hi, Shane. Come on in. We have about an inch from the mic.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day. We're showing here, those of you that didn't pick up, it is not the Tuesday as usual. It is Friday. This is work day. I'm in my britches. You're
and everybody's
showing.
Going to love Shane's accent because all of our 95% of our thousands of listeners are female, and they just love your accent.
Glenn's giving a gasp. That's awesome. Thanks.
That's good to know. Just
so you're golden. Everybody's
going to
like you.
No pressure.
So welcome. So you are Irish.
Yep.
That is true. Okay. We have the big Nations Cup coming up.
Yeah, in 3 weeks, is it now?
3 weeks.
This day, 3 weeks, yeah. It should be exciting. It always is.
Yeah.
There's always a big crowd here. And then everyone really gets behind their country between the Americans, Canadians, the Irish, Venezuela, the Mexicans. I think maybe Colombia is part of it this year, so it'll be very exciting.
It's going to be big. It is something to behold. For people who have not been down here and experienced Nations Cup week down here, it's outrageous. I mean, it is a party. It is people, okay. Tell me about the Irish. Where do the Irish get to set up?
The Irish actually normally take up the bar in the corner called the Tiki Hut. And so obviously, there's beer involved. But
for the team.
Feel for the
team. I wouldn't have guessed.
I know.
I wouldn't have guessed, exactly. Beer in Ireland, never.
Never go together there.
Very fitting. And that's consistent. And it's a party.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, that week is different than other weeks because normally, it's an individual sport, so everyone starts getting behind their team and people going around the horse show are wearing their different colours. You see, like I said, the Irish colours and then the Americans as well. And, it's got very exciting the last few years because each year it's got bigger and bigger and they get big crowds here. So, it's definitely a very exciting week.
It is. It seems like more than anywhere else. You watch the crowds at other Nations Cup. I mean, are we topping the scales here?
Well, it used to be till this year be the only one in America.
Yep.
So now this year there's one next week in Ocala, but it used to be the only one. So for everyone that lives in America or come down from Canada or wherever, it was really
a
unique event. Yeah. So how a lot of people were backing it. So I've competed all over Europe as well in Nations Cup, and it has a very special atmosphere here for it. So.
It does. It does for sure. Well, I'm excited. It does get rowdy, so we're going to see.
Yeah.
It does
good work
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one year, I guess it was like 6 years ago, I think it was the Mexican section, started getting so rowdy. They were like heckling the riders and the horses. They were like, all right, now we're taking it too far.
Yeah,
but it's that level.
Yeah, I think that year was the last year of that kind of rowdiness. I think it's been quietened a little bit because of that, but it's still got a good atmosphere and there's still plenty of noise, and it's actually great for us. It's a great platform for, say, a younger horse to come and do it and build it towards a championship later on in the year, or if you want to do a Super League, know, this is early in the year. You can go and do a Nations Cup here, and you know where you stand with your horse
and really
where your team is at the moment. So it's a real great platform.
Is that what you're thinking for this year? Are you?
I'm not sure. We don't know the team exactly yet, and there's a lot of Irish over here, so we'll see. But
they're winning a lot, though.
We'll see.
You probably have a couple of horses selected in mind.
Well, I have a young horse that I think will be great experience for him. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking with him, is if he could do that, then I can see if he's ready for the big step of going to Europe and doing the next cups there.
That's great. Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Even at that level, you're still thinking about building, development, and those night classes. I mean, that's a factor in the crowd. You're right. Some of them just won't have it.
And it's not just me. I think it's the same for, you know, Eric Lamez or the American riders. They'll, you know, they try to, it's still a very good horse, but they'll be trying to give that experience to one of their up-and-coming horses. So, you know, we all have that in the back of our head. And obviously on the night, we want to win also. You know, we still be trying our best, you know.
No, it is great. People do. They do gallop. So switch gears a little bit. Talk to me about the under 25 Grand Prix. You had the winning team, right? Is that right?
Sweet Oak Farm is where I train out of it. It's myself and my wife's business. And our main trainer is Michael Delfiandra as well. And we had a big win last Friday night. It was really exciting. There was, 16 teams or something like that.
Went
for a long time, but all four students were from our barn, and it was a great win.
I didn't know that. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Sweet Oak Farm, that's your farm.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that you had so many students, and certainly not enough to field, you know, an under 25 team. I mean, that's awesome. So you tell us a little bit about your business.
Yeah, we're based here most of the year in Wellington. A lot of our clients are from down here. And we're here like 9 months of the year, and then during the summer we're in Kentucky. And we go to all, you know, like here we do the hunters, jumpers, amateurs, juniors, adult jumpers, adult hunters. We do everything. So we have a lot of clients.
Give people an idea of how many students that you will have at any given time.
Let's say, I think at the moment we have 54 horses.
Wow.
So, you know, some students have multiple.
And you guys are off ground, so, right? You ship and you have stalls and
We have stalls here on the showgrounds, and we have a farm like 5 minutes away. So we're lucky to have a great facility here.
Had was 25. I can't imagine 50.
Oh, I know.
That's just like.
I know. Well, you guys have good staff.
The amount of work.
Yeah, but that's you.
Well, he's riding.
Yeah,
I'm
doing nothing. I'm just riding. I'm just riding. But we have a lot of.
But you know what? You're managing too.
And
one of the hardest jobs out there is managing people.
Run the training.
Exactly. Yeah. But like we have a big staff, and everyone has their department. And like I said, you know, Michael Delfiandra does a lot of the training. I train a bit. Then like one of the boys that rode in the under 25s that was double clear, he's a rider that works for me. I have another Irish rider that works for me. That's a part of the Irish team for Ocala next week.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, all the way through, there's so many people that are important parts of Sweet Oak Farm. So.
Yeah, because the logistics, just like going to Ocala. I mean, there's just so many logistics and lists and things that have to be taken care of, and all of that has to be organized.
Farmmanager.com.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Or mywife.com.
Your wife. That's so funny. She has got to be very organized.
Yeah, she's very organized. And we have...
you guys have kids, too.
We have three kids.
But oh, my gosh.
We have two barn managers also.
Okay.
You know, so we have Santos Mendez and we have Danny Arndt, and they're very, you know, they do all the managing and organizing.
I'm just trying to give people an idea that it's not just riding. There's so much more that goes involved because the paperwork and just all that stuff for every show you enter and making sure all the coggins and everything.
No, exactly. But it's like any business, even outside of horses. It's just every department has to have, you know, someone in charge of it to make sure it's done right. You know, because if, like you said, if you start doing things wrong, then, you know, where are you going to go?
Snowball,
no business,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really something. So, all right. Well, we're going to keep an eye out for you then, Nations Cup. We're pretty sure you're going to be on the team. But, you know, I guess we have to wait for the actual list to come out. And what are you doing this week? Do you have something in the Grand Prix?
That's the plan. I have a horse, the same horse I think I'll jump in the Nations Cup. Will hopefully do the Grand Prix on Sunday. So Shaqui Zed is his name. He's a 9-year-old stallion, and he's very nice.
Okay, nice. Who's your favorite this season? Who's your top pick?
Oh, I can't do this.
Yeah, too many. Too many.
You can't. No.
Rodney, he's got too many.
Well, that's it. I can't tell you that.
Okay. Well, yeah, you don't want them to know either.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all fantastic.
They're all fantastic. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, good luck with the season. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sean.
Very, very much a treat here to get one of our top riders, and we will be rooting you on Sunday.
All right. Thank you. Thank you again.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. Well, let's take a break here. You're not going to take a break. We're going to take a little break.
Yeah, taking a break. Talk about.
Emily had the chance to catch up on the hunter side of the park here, had a chance to catch up with Patricia Griffith, who, as you said, is the queen of hunters.
She is. She has done it. She has won it. She has, if she won at finals. She won as a professional, derby finals, horsewoman of the year. I mean, she knows, as everybody at the trade show agreed, she knows. So this is our hunter girl.
And you talked to her a little bit about the changes coming up.
We did. Here. She's part of the group that is working on the attire sort of restrictions, rules, whatever you want to call it. Things are bedazzled and wild out there, and they are trying to reel us back in.
All right, very good. Let's take a listen. We'll be back more live here from the Winter Equestrian Festival in Wellington.
Hey, guys. I am here, as promised, with Patricia Griffith. At Wellington. Finally, we caught up. Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're very excited. I'm sort of surprising you with this on the radio, but I was at the trade show last week, and Patricia, for those of you who don't know, has been helping S Equestrian tweak our hunter jacket, our classic jacket. And Patricia, you don't know this, but I introduced you to everybody at the trade show as the hunter queen, and everybody agreed. So of the masses out there, they're like, oh, well, she would know. Oh, she is the hunter queen.
Oh,
I was awesome. I was like, that is so funny. She really is, though. I mean, you have such a long record, and it's so impressive. So we're very happy that you're going to sit down and talk with us. And we thought none other than to discuss attire. So you have the floor. Talk to us a little bit about how you feel in today's market.
Well, this year at the convention, two rule change proposals came forward. One was whether or not there should be a rule allowing half chaps in equitation, because the thought was while you're judging and you see them, should they be allowed, should they not be allowed? That was one. And two, somebody put forward a proposal about what traditional attire in the hunter ring is. And if it doesn't fall under traditional attire, should that, affect your score?
And now traditional attire is written, right? And so those are the rules that we have printed.
Yes, traditional attire is a dark jacket. I think it says scarlet, navy, something dark. But what it doesn't include is the fit, piping, bedazzlement of the helmet.
Bling.
Yes. So, I mean, personally, as a judge, when you're judging, you really want to see good turnout. And I'm not saying those jackets aren't great for the jumpers, but I do think that it's too much.
Yeah.
The colors underneath are, if they're too visible, and hey, my jackets are lined. I have blue lining.
You have cute jackets.
Yeah. I mean, I have some nice stripes. But I do think that if you can see it and it draws your attention, then it's too much.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be going in there with something that could affect your score before you even get started.
Right.
I mean, it's about traditional attire. That's what Hunters is about. That should really be for the jumper ring. Is my personal opinion, and I know that when I'm judging, have I ever taken points off? No. I judge probably 3 times a year because of my schedule, but there was a big debate about it at the convention, and I know some judges were like, we don't need a rule because if they show up with all that, we're not going to give them a ribbon.
So, I mean, it's definitely up to judges' discretion currently, but, I mean, traditional attire is a... That's a look. I mean, we can all agree. We know what it looks like.
It's a look. They didn't even like the jackets without the chokers. Like some of the judges brought up that they wanted an actual choker.
Oh my gosh. This year?
Yes.
There was talk
that like this has gotten so far, like now we don't even have chokers.
We gotta reel it back in. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That came up. That may be going too far, I'm gonna say. Because we gotta talk about, the functionality. It is a sport, right? I mean you're a professional rider. I see you out there. You're working hard, you're sweating, you're riding a bunch of horses.
Exactly.
You gotta be comfortable, right? We've gotta be playing to that, but we know what traditional looks like, okay, like case closed. The girls that are out there bedazzled in the equitation, we know that that's not okay. But you talked to us a little bit kind of about view length, fit. Where does that fall in? Because that's not right.
I mean, that's why I think what you're doing with the jacket is so great, because the one problem I have is the old wool coats.
Right.
Okay, they look beautiful, but it's hot here, and we're riding all day, and we're sweating, and So I think for sure it's just like if you're wearing, you know, clothes out and they're ill-tailored. So if your jeans are too long and you're stepping on them or too short, I mean, you'd like to accentuate, you know, your build and get a jacket that fits you the best. And I'm not sure that the short jackets, even on somebody with a 10 figure, give them the right look for the hunters. So
yeah,
the jacket really has to fall kind of
to
the bottom of your, you know, butt.
Yep.
The sleeves, you know, you don't want to see too much shirt, but you don't want the sleeves over the gloves. I mean,
which means it's going to be a little looser.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
we were talking about with our jacket.
Right.
It must be to have that fall.
Yeah. I think you, even if you're not talking about spending big money, you can go to a good tailor and you can make the clothes look as best as you can.
Right.
I think a white shirt, I don't like too much on the shirts. I think white or blue, and, you know, the new chokers are great that are attached. Just monogram it and make sure it's zipped up and make sure that, you know, the jacket, if you want to put a little piping, go for it, but nothing where it's drawing attention.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the shirts, because that's really, that's hard, because the choker, okay, that covers up any buttons or anything. I'm making shirts. It's very hard to make that closure hidden.
Yeah.
And we did it okay with the equitation shirt, but still, it's not like what these guys were talking about, the rat catcher, where it's just totally
smooth. I think they're never going to get that back. I mean,
it may be gone.
You can still get them at Hadfield, but I think that's about the only place. But I do love the way that looks.
It's so crisp.
It's so crisp.
Yeah.
I think it looks so sharp.
Hey, I grew up
but
like that.
But I just can't. I mean, I'm stuffing the choker in my pocket.
I know it.
It's sweaty. It's dirty. It's a mess.
Yep.
So I have to agree that, you know, fashion forward, but I think we have to keep tradition in mind as we go forward in those rings.
Yeah.
I mean, I know my own customers are running around changing jackets.
Yeah.
I mean, they're putting on their sporty one for the jumpers, and they love it, and it does have better give, and it feels like you're, you know, doing more of a real sport maybe than some of the traditional hunter coats.
Right.
Which is why you and I talked about, can't we get that feel but still have the traditional look?
Yeah, totally. Which, oh gosh, it looks so good when you had it on the other day. Okay, so that shirt and jacket, let's talk britches. What's going on?
They don't love the britches with the writing on the sides, which I
surprise.
Said the same thing, though. I said, listen, like, if it's small, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you know,
that's
if it says Picor down the side, don't want to maybe, but if it's that tiny little,
Equiline,
doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me, but what I don't like on myself, probably just because it's not my body type, I hate when the britches are so low-rise that the shirts are coming out in the
right
back.
Yeah, it's awful.
That really bothers me. So
that's not
I'm probably
sure.
One of the only ones that wears, like, the Meredith, the special, like, picores that are a little higher. But
you're
go
so
for
tall.
What fits you. Go
yeah.
for what fits you. I mean, if you can, your shirt stays tucked in and the britches are, you know, fit right. I mean, again, if they're too baggy and you look like they're, you know, sagging and they're old and... Same thing in equitation. I mean, the britches should look crisp
they should be
fitted.
What do you think about the Euro seat? Not on the radar. Doesn't matter. Or
that hasn't come up. Like,
the
seam part, no, I
nothing.
Think we're good with, I think we're safe with that.
And then most of the companies are offering the beige, tan, and roughly the same color, but there are variations. There's way dark and there's way light. Any discussion on that? Or
there
no?
wasn't any at the convention, but again, I think... Fitting in. If you're going to wear a color nobody else has on, you're opening up the door for what is this girl wearing? Like,
right, for sure.
When you trot in the ring, you don't want the notation that I make on the card to be strange britches.
This
is literally what I write. I mean, that's how I remember people.
That's
I
awesome.
Put glasses.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Mean,
don't be that on Patricia's card.
If you're wearing rust britches, that's how I remember you.
Oh, my gosh.
I write
rust
britches, and then I remember exactly who you are and what your round was. So,
that's so funny.
I think you want to try to blend in when you're doing those two disciplines.
Stand out for what you want to stand out for, which is going to be
stand out
your horse.
For good jumping,
yep.
good riding. Don't stand out because you're wearing a weird colored jacket or it's pale blue and nobody else has it.
So
or,
funny.
You know, it's the color
strange
of...
britches.
Yeah, it's the color of Jump for Just World. I mean, stuff's great, but
that's
not...
That's a time and a place.
Yes.
Okay, and so now how about the boots? Do we have anything? Boots and spurs? Anybody talking?
Listen, I have... My boots on the top have alligator skin black.
Nice.
And nobody notices, and I love them, and that's my version of dressing it up.
You're the hunter queen.
And I wear those, and nobody notices. So again, if it's subtle and it's understated, you go for it.
That's great.
You go for it. But fitting, they have to fit well. I'm big for comfort, so like my boots, they have to be comfortable. I'm wearing them all day, and that I think the boots we're having less of a problem with because now it's the half chap scene.
really.
So that brings us to the other point. There are beautifully made half straps by a bunch of different companies that you can't tell. So it was brought up by Karen Healy at the convention that, listen, you know, I was judging and I let somebody win, and then somebody bitched that how could they win? They were wearing half chaps. In my opinion, if you couldn't tell they were half chaps, then they must have been so beautiful. Like, did it really
they
matter?
Did their trick.
So
yeah,
then
yeah.
They said, well, should we write a rule allowing half chaps? Which I really couldn't wrap my head around, because it's not like you can write a rule saying you're allowed to wear half chaps, but they have to be well fitted and clean, and you can't tell they're half chaps. But
right. You need to have good taste.
Right. It's a slippery
it's
slope.
Very
if you allow
yeah.
that, then people are going to say, well, I'm not going to buy boots. I'm going to buy half chaps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we should be encouraging that. I think if you're wearing them and they look so good you can't tell, go for it. Great.
Right.
Great.
Because there's malfunctions at the bar and there's equipment problems.
Exactly.
You know, and
What's better, black electrical tape wrapped around your leg or a good-fitting pair of half chaps that are polished beautifully? I mean, Paralante makes them. Philly Fabri makes them. I've seen some that are stunning, and they look maybe even better than some people's boots look that are dirty. But again, use judgment. Like, if that's what you have and you're going to polish those up and you can't tell, go for it. But again, why would you do that? Why would you say, I'm going to wear a half chaps?
That's what I kind of come to. I'm like, ladies, we're going in the Hunter and the Equitation Ring. We know we're going in style classes, and if this is what's on the table, you know, we need to have brands that are offering comfort and style, okay, for our market. But, you know, we all know, I think, that, like, all the bling on the collar, like, the stripe down the helmet, I mean, I know, and I wear that stuff.
Yeah,
I can't wear it in that ring.
Just look down the list of everybody that's won a final and what they've looked like and how they were presented, and I don't know that that's going to change. So why would you want to try to be the first one to win with half chaps or the first one to win
britches.
Yeah, with canary britches or with a velvet pink piping on the jacket. I mean, I just don't feel like that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's really good. That's really good information. And this is where it's happening. I mean, these are the front lines. We've got the top kids showing down here, top horses. We're seeing them, seeing all the gear. And I guess that's the challenge, is there needs to be products offered for our market that is conducive to the Hunter and the Equitation Ring. We're not going to change the Hunter and Equitation Ring so much, but we need to play to it a little bit. And like, okay, the kids don't need to be getting heat stroke because they're wearing wool jackets and it's 100-something degrees out. So we've got to split the difference. But this is good info.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that rides knows if the jacket doesn't move, and now we're wearing all this new stuff. I mean, we're used to the clothes moving.
Yeah.
I mean, even the jeans, look how far we've come in denim.
Yeah,
and I can remember when denim had no give ever. There was never, no such thing as a stretch jean.
Nope.
Now they're all, if I put on a pair that doesn't have stretch in it, I'm like, what happened to my pants? Yeah,
totally.
I mean, you know, we've come a long way, and I think that it's good that the equipment changes, but we have to keep the same look in the Hunters and the Equitation.
Yeah, it is, and it's a look, and so that's what it's coming down to. It's a little bit sort of to the judge's discretion, so you need to play to that when you go in the ring. But we are looking at rule change, or no?
So we'd have to stand by to see if that gets presented at the USEF meeting, and if that even gets that far. Because, again, I mean, it's hard to write rules to legislate, you know, that kind of thing.
Very hard.
So it leaves it very open for topic, for discussion, for the judge to use their own discretion, which I think really is what it comes down to.
Right.
If you can't see it, then it's probably okay.
Yeah,
like if you don't notice it, it doesn't bother you, it doesn't catch your eye, it doesn't take away from the picture, the overall picture, I think you're probably okay.
Yeah.
I mean, no one notices I have a little alligator piping on the top of my boot.
It's understated.
Yeah, it's understated. Yeah. And if you have a little, a spur with a charm on the end, again, I don't think you're talking about those little things. I think you're talking about something big, which I have to say, when you trot in any class, whether it's adult hunters or first years, and the jacket's too short and the piping is sticking out, you know, on the underneath, you're thinking like, really?
Yeah. It's just not, we all know what the traditional outfit looks like is the thing. So I think we all know when we're doing
pushing
things.
The envelope.
Yeah,
you know when you're pushing the envelope, you have to ask yourself, like, you know, do I really need to be pushing the envelope?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to even leave it open that I could have a deduction if I'm, you know, ruffling somebody's feathers in the hunter range. I mean, it's just like not wearing gloves. It's like,
yeah,
that much more visible.
Yeah, no, it is. It's really true. Well, cool. Well, we're going to stay in touch. Thank you so much for talking
to us. Oh, you're welcome.
Us.
Anytime.
Awesome. And good luck the rest of the circuit.
Thank you. You too.
Out there. And we will catch up later. Bye, guys.
That was Patricia Griffith, and she is down here in Wellington, and we are as well. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Emily Thompson today, and we are at the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center, home of the Winter Equestrian Festival. And we are so glad to be here, and one of the reasons that we can be here is our terrific sponsors. And you know, for over 50 years, veterinarian Dr. James Belden has cared for major performance horses in over 30 countries. His veterinary practice, Left Bank Equine, has been based in Wellington for the last 25 years. Not too bad a gig. Dr. Belden and Dr. Bill Yerkes provides the level of skill and experience demanded by top owners and trainers in racing, show jumping, polo, and dressage. Call Left Bank Equine at 561-798-6875. That's 561-798-6875. For prompt attention to your horse's medical, soundness, and reproductive issues here in Wellington.
Love that. Yes, very excited to have them as a title sponsor. I personally have used Left Bank Equine for, gosh, maybe the last 6 or 7 years for my own horses. I know quite a few people in the industry, top businesses, top sport horses, who are using them as well. And they just, they're on call. It's great service. They're good vets. It's not, you know, overkill. You bring, you know, some diagnostic thought to your sound, to your lameness exam, you know, whatever you're doing. They're not going to come out and inject your horse in 45 different places. These are real vets, real horsemen. I can't rave enough. So you guys check them out for any of your needs down here in Wellington. And they are here actually year round. So they are always available, but check them out. Left Bank Equine.
All right, and you know we have a lot of things, Jennifer and I, planned for this weekend. We're heading over to dressage tonight to watch the freestyle with Reese, and you're going to come over, Emily. We're going to force you to watch dressage tonight.
I am. I like five star dressage, five star, and in. You know,
okay.
Training level, count me out. But you know, at freestyle, I'll be there as long as it's
good.
Not too cold.
And, you know, I have to tell you what happened. I put a note on Facebook to the drivers in Florida because, of course, I'm a driver, and I didn't want to come to Wellington not going on a carriage ride, right? So I said, I don't know if there's any carriage drivers in Wellington. Well, I had about 13 calls last night come on over here, come on over here. So I think tomorrow morning we're going to be heading out for a carriage ride around Wellington.
I love it.
So that'll be fun,
you
got to
take some pictures. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. I'm so excited. We have our next guest, and I'm very excited about this. Now, you'll need to be about an inch from the mic, so come up close. Our cutest guest ever, I think.
Adorable.
Yes, she is. Go ahead.
Okay, well, we are introducing Miss Gwyneth Babington. She is a fantastic little pony jockey herself, also the daughter of Olympian Kevin Babington, who we had on.
Oh, so she doesn't know anything about horses.
She doesn't know anything. I know. I think that's why we gave her this segment, because Gwyneth is going, well, Gwyneth, do you prefer Gwen or Gwyneth?
Gwyneth.
Yeah. Beautiful name. Isn't
how old are you, Gwyneth?
11.
11, okay.
11.
And how long have you been riding since you were, like, before you were born, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom rides, too. Mom is also an accomplished rider. All right, so you are 11 years old. So I thought that it would be really fun because people don't really understand how, you know, intense our young riders are, really how driven. So you have sort of an exciting announcement, I think. This is your first season doing what?
Small greens.
Small greens, okay.
And what's that mean? It means the jumps are bigger than I want to see. That's what that means.
Glenn just drives. He's got a driving pony.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's cool, right? Yeah, it's actually a very cute pony. You might like it. But okay, so tell us, you're doing the small greens, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Tell us about your ponies. Who are you riding?
Okay, well, I have a Sedona, who does the small greens, and Poet, who does the medium.
Nice.
And
what kind of ponies are they?
I think they're both Welsh.
Welsh ponies?
Yeah.
Welsh. I love ponies, by the way. I'm a pony guy. Wonderful. I've always loved ponies and Percherons, but nothing in between. So tell me about your ponies. So do you start them when they're younger, or do you get them already broke? What do you do?
Well, I have them broke, but, like, like they need training,
mm-hmm.
except well, they're broke already.
Right.
But so Sedona is green, so she's still learning. Like she's not she's learning. Like so she doesn't know everything, except she's pretty good. She's catching on quick. And then Poet, we kind of got like he's older, except and he knows a lot more than she does, so he doesn't do the greens anymore.
Right.
He's doing the.
He's graduating.
Yeah.
He's out of junior high school, heading to high school. Yeah.
So and now there's a lot that goes into getting these ponies through their greens into the division. So that's sort of what I was hinting at your exciting announcement. You are going to be doing this full time down here, right? Is this your first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell the people who have no idea what that means, what is your life look like? How are you doing school? Are you going to be here for how long?
So I am here for the rest of the circuit and then maybe a little bit of the spring circuit. And I do, like, an online school. So
oh, they still make you do school?
I know.
Oh,
they work her pretty hard, truth be told. She's working pretty hard.
Yeah. That would be hard because you're riding really like a full-time rider, right? And then you're doing school, too.
She might be working harder than a
Is it hard to do school or would you, you know, is it hard to force yourself to come in or do you like it? Or?
It's different depending on what I'm doing. Like last week was easier because I didn't have as much, but then this week, it's, like, in the middle of the unit, so we've got a lot of tests. So it's test on top of test.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's kind of hard to manage everything this week, but then next week it should get
okay, I have to ask you, because I asked this, I have to ask you. Are you like most of the other horse girls and hate math?
No.
No, you like math?
You like math.
Sort of.
Oh, cool. Very good.
I heard through the grapevine Gwyneth is a straight-A student. Is that true?
Yeah.
She is a machine. And we're riding ponies. We're getting into the greens, getting into the divisions. You're really doing it, kiddo. It's unbelievable. And she's wearing
the right shirt. I noticed that. She's wearing an S equestrian shirt.
Yes, yep. And the lovely mother. We've got two beautiful models here. So cute. Okay, so we got a little background. Gwen is the real deal. She's out here in Pony Land. Pony Island, actually. I call it Pony Land, but it's an island for those of you who don't know. I thought that it would be awesome if you could bring us a training tip, something that you are working on or that you have recently learned that you can help share with our audience. We have people who are just starting jumping, people who are thinking about jumping, and then you've got other people who are jumping who are here, you know, at the horse show who are showing. But anyways, we got everybody. So do you have something you could share?
Well, with both of my ponies, like especially Sedona, their balance gets kind of low sometimes. And so, like, if their balance is low, even if you have, like, connection to their mouth and everything, you still aren't really in control. So you have to kind of lift their head up, but they kind of have to come under themselves.
Right.
So, but then that doesn't mean their head has to be straight in the air. Like, you just kind of have to have, like, enough connection, but there's, like, a fine line for where their head is in the air and where their head's on the ground.
It's about carriage,
so it has to be like in the middle.
It is, which is essentially what we're doing out there, whether you're doing it. So you're very analytical. Very good. So even at your level, at your age, 11 years old, you know, here she's talking about balance. That's what we're doing. All those rails that come down in the big classes, it's a balance shift. Somebody got crooked and the balance shifted. And you're so right. It's a lot of it manifests in the head carriage. So how do your ponies, do they get a little bit low? Do they get, how are they? What is their?
Well, Sedona gets pretty low sometimes. So we kind of like, but that's only because she's just learning. So as soon as she kind of comes under herself and then she realizes this is what we're supposed to do, it's easier. And then sometimes Poet will do like sort of the same thing, but because we've been working with him for like a year, he's pretty much good
so that gives some encouragement for people who are trying it out. Maybe they say, oh well, I think that's what's hard for me about jumping is I can't keep my horse's balance or my pony or my horse gets low. So you're offering some encouragement. You keep at it, and it is about balance. So it's about head carriage. Where do you think is the best head carriage for a pony hunter?
Well, they're supposed to. I mean, like they're supposed to have their head out, but like, and you can do that, but and sometimes while you're schooling, whatever, you have to have their head a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And then so that you have the connection. Then when you go into the ring, when you already have it, you're not making it.
Right.
Then their head can go out, but you have to, like, you still, you can't just let them get low and take over. Like, you still have to have them.
I mean, it's incredible.
Hand.
We're 11 years old, and we are a coach. Is this because we, I mean, is the second generation?
And I like how she said,
so much?
I like how she said supposed to, because we all have those horses that are supposed to.
She knows.
And they never really get past supposed
no,
to.
No, you're like a little horse trainer. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you're such a good pony jockey. I love watching you ride. So we're going to keep an eye on you. Tell me, what are you going to show on, like, over the next week or two? Do we have anything lined up we can watch?
Well, this weekend I'm doing Poet and Sedona.
Okay.
And then I don't know about next weekend or, but
one step at a time.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's very exciting. Yeah. So you're probably getting all kinds of rides now that you're down here full time.
I do have a question because I'm always interested in family dynamics. Who do you take? Who is your coach?
Well, my dad is, like, he's...
How's that
he's
go, changed. By the way? I just see, that's what I want to know. I have to ask.
Well, no, he trains a lot of people, so like,
but it's
mom,
different when it's your dad, isn't it?
No, well, it's my mom that trains me.
Ah, well, that's
not
better.
Not my dad. Like, my dad trains, like, a lot of people, and so, like, he'll, once in a while, he'll help me, or if he's seeing something, he'll comment, but my mom is my actual trainer.
Yeah.
So, like, she comes with me to the ring. She trains me at home. She kind of does everything.
Breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a sweet deal.
She's my life trainer.
She's your life trainer.
I need one of those.
A chauffeur. I mean, right? If we could only have a Mama Babington. If only. I mean, because you're at the ring on time. You're turned out well. And I do need one of those. Totally. All right. So we're going to keep an eye on you, Miss Glennis. Thank you so much for coming. You're absolutely adorable.
Thank you.
Thank you, Glennis.
But
no problem.
We appreciate
smart.
It.
We're going to check back in with you later in circuit, see how you're going.
Okay.
Get another little interview.
Thank
all right,
you.
Good
thank
luck
you,
to
guys.
See you soon.
Take
thank
care.
Thank you, Mama Babington. Bye.
Hey, are you going to make me lunch?
I know,
face to face, things that you do. So. I'm going to ride the pony. So, no, you don't want that.
Glenn can hook them to a
yeah, if you have a harness, I could ground drive them.
There
that'd be
go.
Good.
Hey, there's some of them that may need that. Later, guys. Thanks.
That's funny.
She's
so
nice.
Cute.
But, like, so
she's
good.
So adorable.
She knows what she's talking about. I love that. What they're supposed to do.
She
has an opinion.
I thought that was funny.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, I did think that was funny. Well, tell us a little bit here before our next guest or two, I think. Tell us about Equestrian. What's going on? What's new with that?
Boy, Equestrian keeping me busy, as usual. We have what's really taken off, which is awesome, are our custom orders, which is they're essentially like team shirts. We can do it for the jackets as well, though we're a little bit slow-moving because I'm tweaking the pattern. I'm a perfectionist. Like, the shawl is perfect, so I go through
sure.
And then it's finally ready. So that's basically what's going on that front. We're just cranking out the custom orders. We've got jackets that are coming. They'll be on the shelves, gosh, I hope I think I said this a few months ago, but I think by spring, we're hoping. But it's happening, you know, keeping us busy. But you guys, check us out. We're online, equestrian.com. And Facebook is always good for updates, Equestrian or Equestrian for IHSA. You know, we're the official show shirt of IHSA. So if you go to college and you want shirt, you hustle your team together, 20 shirt order, built-in fundraiser, and you get your college logo in the liner. So check us out.
Okay, very good. And we have our next guest.
Woo! Thank you. You could get HRN shirt.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Okay, welcome.
Hi,
Andre.
How are you?
Emily Thompson,
nice to meet you.
Come on in.
Glenn.
Close.
So, you got to lean in. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come talk with us. I know this is show day.
Thank you guys for having me here.
We love it. So you are from Venezuela.
Yes.
Okay, so this is big horse sport down there. It's exploding, right? Lots
yes, actually, the Venezuelan team in the past two or three years is picking up. We have now a group of six riders. We're all living in here in Wellington.
Wow.
And we're training. It's big. This is a big year for us. We have Pan American Games, which is where we qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we have four Nations Cup to prepare ourselves for the Pan Am Games. We have the first one next week in Ocala. Then in 2 weeks, we have a Nations Cup here in Wellington. Then we have a Nations Cup in Jalapa, Mexico. then Calgary, Canada, and then we go to the Pan Am Games. We have to be in the first three teams in Pan Am Games for the Olympics.
And the Pan Ams are where?
In Canada.
In Canada.
Canada.
Yes. In July.
Wow.
End of July.
So you
is
guys...
it Spruce Meadows? Do they do it? Spruce Meadows?
No. No, it's from Palgrave. Palgrave is 45 minutes from Toronto.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So you guys, how you have quite a few riders. I mean, it's got to be very easy to field a Nations Cup team.
Yes. With our first Nations Cup was in 2006.
Okay.
And always the team, and we always have good horses. The first Nations Cup ever for Venezuela, and it was very, it was this field was grass, and
and
we started there, and then now.
Why has it become so popular in Venezuela? Do you think? Why is it picking up?
It's picking up because I think there was success of a couple of riders, and then there was more. The younger people got motivated, and if you see our team, our oldest rider is 52 years old.
Wow.
50, and our youngest rider is 17. There's pretty much a gap of 10, 15 years in between. There's Pablo's, the most experienced, is 52. Then I'm 30 years old, and the one under me is 24. And then we have Emmanuel, who's 17 years old. So we were pretty
good
much
range.
Two, and then we hope to have younger kids coming up and to be able to field in the team.
Down there, is it like it is here, where everybody has farms and does their own thing, or is it more schools or like clubs, or how?
Yes, the sport is mainly concentrated in the clubs, private clubs.
Yeah,
and but the riders that are really coming to the higher level are being developed here in the U.S.
In the U.S.
Because you guys base now at Wellington.
Yes, we base here in Wellington.
In the summer here, it's cool compared to Venezuela. So, you know, it's not so hot. As it is.
No, the summer here is pretty hot.
<It's> pretty hot.
Summer here is pretty hot.
But you guys are out of here in the summer, right?
We're out of here in the summer, and depending on the horses, we go either to Europe or to Calgary, to Canada.
Okay.
And we mainly came to Wellington because this is the biggest circuit in the world. We have the best riders from all over. We stay here for 12 weeks of top competition, and then the rest we still do probably 8 more weeks. So we end up doing 20 weeks of the year here in Wellington.
Yeah.
And that allows us to do a lot of training without so much traveling for our families and everything. So
yeah.
And then you're heading to Calgary. Is that where you said?
Yes.
That's so beautiful. I mean, my God, that's a different kind of beautiful. But
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the horses ship?
Yes.
From here?
Some of them fly, some of them go in the truck, yes.
It's long enough for
a plane
ride.
Yeah, it's a 3-day trip.
3-day trip.
I actually did it once.
So you want to be a good horse. You want to be able to fly.
Yes.
That's motivation right there.
Naughty horses. They don't
actually, normally the ones that get to fly are the better ones. That's true.
They sit around the barn and go, I'm playing this year.
Be a kicker after like 15 hours and they'll put you on.
Yeah.
They'll put you on the plane. That's a long way. Yeah, because you guys, I think about that a lot with all of the globetrotting. I mean, these top horses, they're flying. What is the layover period? You show up from leaving here, they get on the truck or the airplane, they go to Spruce Meadows, and then, I mean, you're up and running.
They're ready to go. Even if the competition starts on Thursday, sometimes they'll fly on Sunday, Monday, and they'll still be
just very used to it.
They're used to it, and the whole logistics of the transportation companies is so good. Really, the horses land, they take them out of the airport as soon as possible. They go directly into quarantine, and they do the top horses probably do this 10, 12 times a year.
See, I just looked at it for them. It's kind of a break. They don't get ridden. They just get a couple days off. You know.
Yeah. Some people say they travel better in the plane than what they do in the truck. The truck with the turn, getting into one side.
Stopping and
once they take off, they're pretty good.
Wow, that's a lot. That is a lot of traveling, though.
Yeah.
And you have top horses. You tell us who's your top pick. You think you're going to do for the Nations Cup?
I think my main horse now is a horse. It's a 13-year-old. His name is Verdi. We bought him with high hopes for the Olympic Games, and I showed him for the first time last week in a 5-star.
Yeah.
And he was very good. He was clear in the first day and had a fence down in the Grand Prix. So I'm very excited about him.
By by the way. I love
thank
watching
you.
You ride. Yeah, very
thank you.
Correct. Yeah, and nice horses.
Thank you. That would be my main horse, and then I have Caballito, who's a very competitive horse.
You've had that one for a
while.
Yeah,
I have had that one for a while. We've had
that one.
We had a lot of battles with him, and we've used him for the past 4 years. He won his first Grand Prix with me 4 years ago, and
wow.
his last one probably a month and a half ago.
Oh,
so
exciting.
So
that's
it's
a
been
nice
a,
relationship.
Yeah, it's been a good career. A lot of ups and downs. A very special horse. But,
yeah.
But
I have a question here from a listener. How long will a top horse like that? How long will you be able to ride him? For only say sound and.
Oh, my expectations with him. I hope at least 3 or 4 more years. I think he'll be. If he can still be winning international competitions in 3-4 years, that would be an amazing.
And then
career.
From there, they really go down to juniors, or they get taken over by someone else who rides them at the lower levels.
Yes.
At that point. Yeah.
Yes. That would be my girlfriend, my fiance.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Now is she from here, or where is she from?
She's from New York. Yeah.
New York. She a rider?
Yes.
Yeah.
She just went a couple of rounds ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we didn't put this together because we're only just meeting finally this time, but I am the other little girl attached to the baby stallions of Rossella. I'm developing the baby stallions.
Oh, yes. I've actually seen videos of you riding on the phone. Yeah.
I know he's so small.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I knew that she was passing. I thought, oh, that's so funny. I've never met Andres Rodriguez in person. This will be great. But that's me.
Yeah.
Yep, we have
babies
together.
What is his name? Flash?
Flash. Yes. I'm hoping to get maybe a 5-year-old Flash.
And the other one, Hipster. Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures of that. Yeah.
We're silly, the two of us. I've seen pictures around. We love them. It's like nostalgic, you know, because we love the mare so much. But
that's amazing. I always hear about you, and she showed me a short clip.
Yeah,
you were jumping. You were jumping. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Rossella was an amazing horse.
She was literally the horse of a lifetime. She won like every class she went in with whoever rode her. I had her Clementine, had her Addison Phillips, Malin Barnyard started her, an incredible mare. And they say the mare, you know, is up to 80% or so of the pedigree. And these two little guys, I mean, they're just like her. They are firecrackers. I mean, that little guy, he's up over the top of the standards every time he jumps.
Well, let's
get
the name of your fiance. What's her name?
Clementine Guttall.
What a great
Clementine
name,
Guttall. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, that
and
is
she's
a great
so
name.
Sweet.
Soon to be Clementine Rodriguez, which I don't know if she likes that much.
What happens if you're in the same class together? Is there a
rival?
Do you roll over and let her win? Or do you,
No, that won't happen.
No, Andres is competitive.
No, we actually went last 2013. We were in a Grand Prix together in the jump off in a.
Oh, you were in the jump off together?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we were first and second.
Oh, my God. Did she beat you?
No, I actually.
Oh!
And
she slept on the couch for a month.
That was her old mare, good mare at the same one she had at the same time at Rossella.
Yeah,
Kelly.
Yeah.
And Clementine, now every time she wants to find a new horse, she says, I want something like Rossella, but it's not that easy to find.
It's not
anymore.
Impossible.
Once you have your lifetime horse, it's tough.
But these little babies.
Because everyone has to live up to that
one. Yeah. Yep, we're each going to get one, and that's what we're both like. There's no other horses like Rossella, but these little boys, they really are. So we're going to be maybe showing side by side one day.
Hopefully. Are they going to show soon?
The older one, he's 4 coming 5, so I'm hoping he's a little fresh. So I'm bringing him around everybody in post-circuit, maybe. We'll do some little stuff.
Okay.
So,
She's I'm sure going to be watching that.
Oh, for sure. I know you're going to be getting more videos. We're silly. We're like, there are my little ponies. But, no, it's lots of fun. So that's great Clementine showing. I've got to keep an eye out for her.
Yeah.
She's a lovely rider
if
you guys haven't seen. So you guys have a private business here, or do you have clients?
Do have clients.
Okay.
I own a place in Palm Beach Point.
Okay.
We have 20 stalls there. And we have two students that I train, and the rest, I have a lot of young horses.
Nice.
I have 7 young horses that I'm trying to bring along, and then I have my 5 international horses.
Wow.
And so
the youngsters that you're bringing along, are they all meant to be for yourself, or is part of the business selling them as they come up?
They're some of them were bought with the idea of reselling them. Some of them were bad with the idea of keeping them in the sport. Normally, when we buy them,
and that changes, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does change. It's amazing. We buy with the try to use the best knowledge we have, the best advisors. We buy the horses. We have high hopes, and then some of them don't turn.
And we were talking about that yesterday, the nature versus nurture thing. They can have the best breeding in the world, and you know, even in the racing business, and be a horrible runner.
They're
Or they come from nothing and they end up winning the Kentucky Derby.
Every time I tried every generation to have four or five horses, and really I don't remember the one time that I thought this went on when they were young. I said this one was going to be the real one, and then it's always another one that ends up having the brains to do
you
it.
You can't prejudge them, can you? You can't prejudge them.
You can only pick so much the quality.
It's like a first date. You can't prejudge them.
Kind of pick what they want to do.
Yeah, and then some of them try a bit harder than others. Yeah. The horse that I'm jumping today in the Grand Prix, she's 10 years old now. I have her since she was 5 years old. She was very, very, her body is very stiff. And as a young horse, really, we had 5 horses that on that generation that were born in 2005. And she was always a good jumper, but I never thought she was going to be the better one of the group. And she ended up being, she's won Grand Prix.
Wow.
And she's always with her own style, but she has the brain. She wants to do it, and she's a fighter. And some of the other ones were more talented than her.
Are there some that end up being that you realize early on that, you know, this horse needs to be an eventer or, you know, do a different path altogether from jumping? Or
yes, when they're turning 8 years old, it's really when you start pushing them and putting them in this big ring behind us now, and that's when you really see, when you start seeing what really they're, if they're going to fight, or it's a big difference. It's the biggest step for me is going from the small rings, the meter 35s, coming into the meter 40s here. That's a big
step. That's the cutoff there.
Yeah. That I think after that, separates a lot of the young horses from
the boys from the men.
Yeah. And then from that on, if their horse is really good, to go from the 40s to the 50s, it's even a easier step than it is to get them in the main ring jumping. That so that's really when you get to know if that's going to be more of a junior horse or more of an.
You know, we had that conversation last night at dinner with one of the top Grand Prix dressage riders in the country, and she has a horse that she was bought for dressage, and it likes to jump. You know, so
it does like to jump,
and she's Emily's going to be taking that horse over because it's just not cut out for dressage.
Yeah,
you know,
it's got jumping blood in it too. Totally.
And it's a beautiful horse.
The horses decide, and it's so such a special horse that can go out there into a big ring, jump big jumps, and then like what you guys do, the traveling, you know, loading up on the truck, having the consistency that you know your horse is going to get off the truck and perform. It's a small percentage, so you have to weed them out as you go.
Yeah, when they're young, there's really so much you can see. You can see how they move, how they their technique, how much the power they have.
You see their heart,
but you can't see that. And that's
not that kind of heart. Something different.
And in the racetrack, a lot of people will be trying to figure that out. It's just
why I've lost a lot of money in the race.
Yeah, horses are not always a good investment.
You never know who's really going to fight at the end. So.
No,
and you never know who's going to fight that day. I mean, that's the other thing. You still have to have them show up that day.
But it's likely that the fighters fight more. Most of the time.
You're right.
Yeah, you need to know.
So, we got to let you go here, I know, but that leads to another question. So, if you start 10 horses, how many will end up in that big ring at the end, as a percentage, as an average?
I think in the past 4 or 5 years, they've all ended up coming to the meter 40, and they've all come to the meter 40, and then from that generation, just we're talking about 2005, 2 of the horses won Grand Prix. One of them at a smaller level, and the other one at a bigger level. But they
see, my guess was going to be 2 or 3.
I know.
Two or three. But if that would be a super plus. If you get from one generation, you get 2 horses that jump Grand Prix, that's amazing. I'm only really hoping for one. If I have one, that's my goal.
Well, that tells you the numbers. It is a numbers game, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
And from to get to those 5 horses that we bring every year, we really go through maybe 10 horses that we bring into the barn, and then we go to those five. And then
I just see the thing that makes this a different than other sports is we got to feed them, we got to put shoes on them, and we got to vet them, and we got to do that for all of them.
Yeah, that's
they all eat the same.
My plan now in Europe, we have five horses born in 2009, and probably we're going to get up to seven horses, and then in the summer we decide which ones are coming. So the ones that come, and then if one of each generation comes, then that sort of guarantees that I'm going to always have four or five horses going in the bigger tour. And
it does take so much time, the development.
Yes, and it's really that. I have a big passion for top sport, but bringing the horses along, if you can bring a horse along that you've made yourself to the big classes, that's
the dream.
Yeah, that's the dream, yeah.
Totally, I'm with you.
Very cool, very cool. Well, good luck this year.
I know.
Perfect. Thank you.
And good luck. We'll keep an eye out for you.
The Nations Cup.
Meet you and the Nations Cup. Yeah. Yeah, Andres Rodriguez, check him out, one of the top riders.
Now, will this be on TV? Can we see it on the
They'll be live
on the
stream. We're going to watch you live stream.
Okay, and it's at the Showgrounds website. They can find that? Chronicle of the Horse. Okay, has the live stream. All right. Yeah,
you guys check it out. It is,
which is chronophorse.com, if I remember right. Yep.
It's such a fun event, the Nations Cup. Rowdy.
Yeah.
So rowdy. But that's the fun part, you know, really.
Well, now, we had an Irish rider on earlier, and, you know, and of course, the Irish are known for drinking. Okay,
yeah.
So
they normally take that.
Yeah, they already have green up over there.
Yeah.
So now, what are the Venezuelans? Irish, she said, you know, of course, they're drinking ale. What are the Venezuelans drinking during the Nations Cup?
I would say beer and rum.
Beer and rum?
Not together,
but it would be beer or rum. But those
you know why the Mexicans are always the most rowdy, though, is they're drinking tequila.
They're drinking tequila on this corner here.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
That's where the dancing on tables happens, because that's what happens with tequila.
It's tequila, it's so true.
Rum is sort of smoother, you know.
Yeah. Rum's nice and warm.
Yeah, warm.
It's an amazing night, Nations Cup night. Everybody's jumping for the team, and it's a different experience.
It is. It's so good for the spectators, too, which is what we really need to build is...
And that would be one of the best nights.
The highest alcohol consumption in Florida that day.
Yeah.
Probably. It's so funny. It's great. It's awesome. It is lots of fun. All right. Well, Warren,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
Well, that was fun.
Very fun. We're so spoiled. We got all the best riders. We got training tips. I mean, we have done Wellington.
We have, and you want to put a little plug in for your next episode, too, which is always the, trying to remember here, the first Tuesday of every month.
Which has not been
for, because we've had to change it so often, but it should be next month. It should be the first Tuesday of next month. But one of the things that we're going to be doing next month, we talked about Ireland here. We talked about the Ireland event, and next month at the show earlier in the week, we got to catch up with a rider from Japan, which we don't often talk about.
So true. We have horse sport exploding all over
Yuri
the world.
Ito was her name, and an absolute delight. I don't know where you know her from, but she's so fun.
She is so fun.
Yeah.
She is a player. She's out there. She's got horses jumping. She's breathing. And I had no idea, you know, that she really grew up riding and showing over there in Japan and how thriving it is. It's really
neat to hear her talk about that. Yeah. It really is neat to hear her talk about it. It was a lot of fun. We'll have that interview for you in the next episode. And thank you, Emily, for putting this all together.
I know
it was a lot of work.
It was awesome. So glad we finally got to do it. Loving our headlining sponsor, Left Bank Equine, for jumping on board. Check them out. They are where it's at.
And, of course, S-Equestrian. And we saw some S-Equestrian shirts here this morning.
We did.
So that was cool.
We did.
That was very good.
Yep, we got them on the riders.
Do you make the male version?
Yes.
Can you make them with our little logo on the thing?
Can.
We need to do that.
Totally.
We
They're
need
so
to have,
cute, right? And
we
need to
have,
put the
look at my little guy. We'd look really cute on there.
No, absolutely.
A little microphone
people,
dude.
I love the custom orders. It's like Christmas morning when I open up the production box. I'm like, it's like, you know, all these different, it's like the bag of Jolly Ranchers, and it's a whole bunch of stuff I wouldn't obviously make without you.
Well, that's cool. We want to thank Jen and Lindsay for having us here and putting up with us setting up in the media center. We appreciate that. And it is getting warm here now. I hate to tell all you people in the Northeast, but it's almost 70.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. You guys get down here and check it out.
We went out and saw the ocean yesterday and drove down Ocean Boulevard in Palm Beach, which has the 10 gazillion dollar houses.
Totally.
Oh my God. But you know, you never see anybody actually living there.
Well, are they ever there? No, probably not.
No.
I mean, who knows? You know, a lot of those.
They all have their private beaches and there's nobody there.
But, like, you know, people who like vacation at their homes they own rather than owning furniture, sometimes they'll just rent furniture for like an event or like going down there. It's a whole other world.
It is unbelievable the houses that are down there, though. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll be back here Monday morning. Jane will be back, and we'll be back in the studio. Unfortunately, we're heading back on Sunday. But we'll have lots to talk about. We're going to be seeing dressage. We're going to be doing carriage rides. We're hopefully going to be catching some polo. So we have the whole weekend planned. Full horsey experience here. Thank you, Emily.
It's been fun.
All right. Everybody, you have a terrific weekend. Be safe. Wear your helmets. And I'm trying to find the closing music. There we go. See you, everybody. Have a great weekend.